fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar.
Welcome to the Story Table, brought to you by Providence Church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, where they want you to know that you are loved. Sierra Story, Chapter 7. Lolly pushed the sleeves of her t-shirt higher. She took the little sign the cheerleaders had passed out with Warrior Pride printed on it and put it to good use, fanning her face. She watched Mr. Waits incredulously as he directed the band. His shirt was soaked and clinging to his pudgy stomach, his arms waving wildly. His loyal puppets turned up the volume, their faces straining as they delivered the school fight song. Lolly wondered if they were from a different planet. She absolutely could not understand what passion propelled them. She also wondered what the temperature was in this gym. It had to be twice as hot as it was outside in the shade. Why not jump and scream out there? Right, she thought to herself. Tradition. Go, warriors, go! Go, warriors, go! Lolly joined her voices with the others, mainly because Jam was right in front of her, jumping and chanting with the other cheerleaders, trying hard to work the students up into a frenzy for tonight's game. Lolly knew from experience what she'd have to hear if she didn't yell. Lolly, her friend would say, if I can get my heavy butt up in the air to jump, the least you could do is clap your hands. Pep rallies were one of the very few issues the two friends disagreed on. Lolly felt you shouldn't have to get the boys pumped up to play. The thrill of the competition alone should be enough. It felt stupid to her to sit in a crowded gym and yell back and forth at the cheerleaders like they could do something about it. Jan said Lolly was being hard-headed. I guess you're right, Lolly, and everybody else is wrong. How many schools would that be? Come on, we're talking about tradition here. There's been pep rallies as long as there's been football games. Lolly said all kind of things have been going on for years. That didn't make them sacred. They finally agreed to disagree. Now, tonight at the game, that would be a different matter. Lolly was as loud or louder as anyone was once the team took the field. Only when she yelled, it wasn't memorized chants. Lolly understood the game as well as most of the men in the stands. You seldom found her strolling up and down the bleachers socializing. Lolly was the one yelling at the line to block or warning the defensive backs the offense was set up like they were going long. Jan introduced the game's captains, and Jeff strode to the microphone with Mark Johnson. We've been working hard, Jeff said, looking straight at Lolly. Come out and support us. After tonight's game, we'll be in the playoffs. Mark said about the same thing. Most of the guys did. It was a rare fellow that came up with something original. On the way back to his seat, Jeff took a piece of folded paper out of his pocket, fingering the rubber band that secured it to a piece of hard candy. When he walked by Lolly, he tossed the candy her way, grinning when she caught it instinctively. Bingo. He'd been trying to slip her a note all day, but she wouldn't take it. Maybe now her curiosity would get the better of her. Lolly couldn't help but smile back at Jeff as he stumbled over the cheerleader squad trying to see what she would do with the note. Rolling her eyes at him, she stuck it in her jeans pocket. Her brother had not missed a thing. He saw the note and the smile. Let's go, Warriors! Luke shouted over the din. He couldn't wait for kickoff. As soon as Lolly sat down in the Jeep, she took the note out of her pocket. Luke and Jeff were with the other guys in the dressing room. Coach didn't let the team leave the campus between the pep rally and the game. Lolly always wondered what they did with all that time. It was at least 3.5 hours before they would take the field for warm-up. Lolly turned up the air and switched the radio to a different station. She pushed a strand of hair out of her eyes and unfolded the rumpled paper. First she scanned the familiar writing. Then she reread it, slowly. My dearest Law, if you're reading this, then maybe there's a chance for us. I miss you so bad. I drive myself crazy trying to figure out how everything went so wrong. If I thought there was a chance you would walk me off the field tonight, I think I could beat them all by myself. Please think about going uptown together after the game. I promise not to be too serious. Luke says you still love me. Did you tell him that? I don't want to be with anyone but you, Law. Can we try again? I love you. Jeff. P.S. If the answer is yes, please wear a red shirt to the game tonight. I'll be looking for you in the stands. Meet me on the field. I love you. Jan was walking towards the Jeep with one of the other cheerleaders. She watched as Lolly wiped her eyes and crumpled a piece of paper she'd been reading. Jan struggled in vain to get away from Carol without cutting her off. By the time she climbed into the Jeep, Lolly was composed and smiling. That was a good one, Lolly said. The skit was cute. Oh, give me a break, Lol. I was watching. You hated every minute of it. I don't want to talk about the pep rally anyway. I saw you wiping your eyes. Is something wrong? No, Mama, Lolly said, trying to joke around. I'm just fine. My contacts are bothering me, that's all. Lolly backed the Jeep up and headed it out of the parking lot. Burger Barn, you are a horrible liar. Jan switched the radio back to the station Luke had it on earlier. But whatever. If you don't want to talk about it, fine. I'm just your best friend. If I wanted to talk about it, Jan, I'd talk to you. You know that. It's nothing. Is it Jeff? Jan asked, totally ignoring her. Lolly didn't answer. I saw him throw something at you. Was it a note? Was that what you were reading? Yes, Jan, it was a note. Now, can we please talk about something else? It's no big deal. Lolly flipped her blinker on and came to a stop at the red light, just as her mother passed in front of them. Both girls waved, but Sierra didn't see them. Hey, that was your mom. I didn't think I saw her at the pep rally. Was she there? Lolly looked in her rearview mirror as her mother pulled into the drive-in window at the bank. I don't know. I'm sure she was. I mean, she always is. But she's been acting strange lately. How so? I don't know. It's hard to say. One minute she's there, and the next minute she's somewhere far away. Jan tugged at her tight top and grunted before answering. I know one thing. I cannot breathe in this. Maybe she's thinking about Brandon. You know, with the time of year and all. Lolly considered that for a moment as they pulled into the Burger Barn parking lot. She put it in park and checked her reflection in the mirror. No, I don't know. I don't think that's it. I can't put my finger on it, but it's different this time. The two girls got out and slammed the doors of the Jeep. Just so you know, Jan said, I haven't forgotten what we were talking about. You were just about to tell me what's going on with you and Jeff. Lolly laughed. I was? I didn't realize that. Maybe later. There's no maybe to it, Jan stated emphatically, patting her friend's back. The Burger Barn was crowded and noisy, just the way they liked it. Hey, Lolly. Hey, Jan. Come over here. The voice belonged to Easy Susan. She was motioning them over to where she sat with her groupies. True to form, she was perched on Mickey's lap, one of the few guys in the place. Mickey's sport was basketball. He couldn't or wouldn't play football and risk getting hurt before the basketball season. Though it didn't endear him to the guys, it gave him a lot of time with the girls while they weren't around. Mickey thought it was worth it. Right now, he looked like he had won the lottery. What does she want? Lolly whispered as the girls waved back at Susan. Whatever she can't have, Jan said cynically. Susan peeled herself off Mickey's lap and wedged her way into the overcrowded booth. She smiled sweetly at the kids on the opposite side of the table, motioning them to slide over. And voila! Lolly and Jan had seats. They took them uneasily. Susan could have that effect on you. She always seemed to be in charge, but she was so silky. No threats, no bossing. If you resisted, you ended up looking like the grouch. It was familiar and irritating, and one of the many things they didn't like about her. Susan gave them one of her best smiles. Are y'all coming to the party tonight? Please say you are. Her tone was pleasant. Her eyes were hard. Jan looked up, surprised. I don't know anything about it. She looked at Lolly. Where have y'all been? There's going to be a big blowout on the levee. Susan gestured toward the river. Well, I mean, if we win, She engaged the group with her trademark smile, causing her dimples to deepen before she went on. And if we lose, well, all the more reason to party, I say. BYOB, added Mickey to a chorus of approval. Lolly and Jan didn't comment. If they showed up, they wouldn't be bringing their own beer, and he didn't have to worry about them drinking his. Neither of the girls drank, but for different reasons. Jan had spent too much of her childhood hiding behind the kitchen door when her dad came home, hoping for the good one. That was the dad that didn't smell or holler or throw things. That dad never made her mother cry. The good dad didn't show as often as the other one, but when he did, her mother's eyes glowed, and supper time was almost like it was at Lolly's house. Jan was afraid that whatever was in him was in her, too. She didn't want to feed it. With Lolly, on the other hand, it was all about losing control. The idea of not being fully aware of what she was saying or doing was abhorrent to her. She watched the other kids when they drank. They all laughed at each other like they were so funny and so cool. But if you stayed sober, everyone else looked kind of stupid. Of course, some of the kids stood by the old argument about knowing when to say when. But she had noticed that sometimes they too forgot about when, as well as where and what. Sometimes Lolly watched Susan carefully at parties. She didn't seem to drink as much as she acted like she had. It was suspicious, like Susan knew exactly what she was doing when she was acting like she didn't. This made even less sense to Lolly. Everyone was looking at him, waiting for an answer. I don't know, Lolly finally said. I'll think about it. She stood up and looked at Jan. I'm thirsty. I need a Coke. Jan wiggled out of the seat on cue. I'll go with you. Susan took a long sip from her Coke, acting as if her interest in the whole thing had waned. But before they could exit, she played the trump card she'd been savoring. Jeff's coming, he promised. Good for him. Lolly hoped her face wasn't betraying the complacent tone she was struggling for. She put her hand into Jan's back, applying a light pressure. Y'all have fun, she said to the group with a big smile while simultaneously pushing her buddy into gear. Jan stumbled slightly before waving to the group. Yeah, I guess we're going. See y'all later. As soon as they got their drinks from the counter, Lolly hustled Jan to the Jeep. Jan hadn't really been ready to leave, and she sure didn't want to go home. Home was depressing. Lolly pulled the Jeep out on the highway. So what do you want to do? She asked casually. Now, you ask. I want to know what the heck is going on. Jan's voice was fiery this time. Why do you let Susan get to you, girl? If you and Jeff are so over, like you say, why do you care where he goes tonight? Jan glanced at Lolly, waiting for an answer. After a minute, she continued, and if it isn't over, and I don't think it is, you know he isn't interested in Susan, so her little job shouldn't bother you anyway. What gives? Lolly drove in silence. Fine, let's just go to your house and hang. Jan sighed. She may as well be talking to the windshield. Jan grabbed Luke's CDs and flipped through them impatiently. She pushed one of her favorites into the player and started singing, her strong alto blending pleasantly with the country tune. Lolly spoke once on the way home to ask Jan to find her sunglasses in the console. She thanked Jan and sat behind the dark lens the rest of the way, even though it wasn't really that sunny. They were about to pull into her drive when Lolly reached and turned the volume down. Okay, I'll tell you. No, really, Lolly, it's none of my business. You don't have to. I want to, Lolly interrupted, but let's go to my room first. A few minutes later, they kicked off their shoes and plopped down on Lolly's comforter. Jan looked at her friend expectantly. It's not as easy as you think, Lolly said. It's personal. Like I said, you don't have... Yes, I do. I need to. Lolly fidgeted with her watch, avoiding her friend's eyes. You're right. I do still care about Jeff. A lot. She paused, searching for the right way to say it. This was hard. But it's best if we don't see each other. Jan waited to see if Lolly was going to continue. When she didn't, Jan asked the obvious question. Best for whom? Both of us. Yeah, I can see that, Lolly. Y'all both look real happy. The sarcasm helps, Lolly said, her voice breaking. Jan was immediately contrite. I'm sorry, La. I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
I know. It's just that I don't know how to say it, Jan. Look, we can't see each other because things were getting too deep.
She could tell Jan wasn't getting it.
We were just too close.
Jan still looked puzzled.
We were about to mess up, Jan, okay?
Her words must have finally registered. Jan looked embarrassed.
Oh, I get it.
You do? Lolly asked desperately.
Yeah, kind of. But why'd you have to break up? Why couldn't you just...
Jan's voice trailed off uncomfortably.
Just not?
That sounds good, but it wasn't working so well. We've been arguing about it for months.
Jan's eyes were focused on the comforter.
You mean Jeff was pressuring you?
No. Lolly drew her knees up and wrapped her arms around him. It's not like you think. He didn't want to either. I mean, he did, but he didn't. And he knew I didn't, and he didn't exactly make it easy for me. Breaking up was the only answer.
I think I get the picture, Jan said quietly. I couldn't figure it out before, but it all makes sense now.
So you do miss him?
Sure.
The girl sat quietly for a minute. They had spent hours, days, and years together. They had talked about everything under the sun but this.
Neither of them were enjoying it.
Lolly pulled the crumpled note out of her pocket and handed it to Jan. She picked up the remote to her television and started flicking past the channels. Every other one seemed to have something to do with sex. Even the commercials were full of it. She turned it back off.
Jan read the note and returned it to Lolly.
What are you going to do?
Lolly shook her head slowly. I just don't know.
She bit her lower lip. I just don't know.
The boys were coming onto the field to warm up when Sierra got to the game. Sonny would cut beans till the last minute. He usually showed up with slightly damp hair right before kickoff. Halfway up the bleachers, Sierra's head began to pound again. She had had a recurring headache all day.
Stress, she muttered.
She was behind on her books at the shop and behind on housework at home. At least she still had Carrie Lee coming twice a month. Carrie Lee was a jewel. She had been with the Gray family ever since Sonny's dad was a baby. Back then, she came early every morning to help Miss Edith with Linendale. Times had changed. Sonny and Sarah couldn't afford to give her that many hours anymore, but they couldn't bear to let her go completely. Carrie Lee was part of Linendale. She was family. Sierra knew that Sonny would take care of Carrie Lee when the time came that she couldn't take care of herself, although right now they wondered if that time would ever come. The woman could still work circles around most women half her age. Sierra relied on Carrie Lee in a lot of ways that didn't have anything to do with house cleaning. Carrie Lee's simple faith had been a stabilizing presence in the Gray family for years. It was Carrie Lee who had cleaned Brandon's room the past 5 years. Carrie Lee, whose hymns had carried through the house during the darkest days. Sometimes she thought Carrie Lee could read her thoughts.
That could be a bad thing lately, Sierra told herself.
The bleachers were filling up quickly. The Warriors hadn't played a game this big in years, and the excitement around the stadium was almost tangible. The Advil Sierra swallowed for her head began to take effect. And once the band's drums quit beating louder inside her head than outside, she began to relax and enjoy herself. Occasionally, she looked back to the parking lot for Sonny, wondering what was keeping him. The Warriors won the toss and elected to receive. Sierra saw Luke look up in the stands. He and his dad always exchanged a thumbs-up sign before the game. Sierra shrugged as if to say she didn't know, and Luke smiled, giving her the thumbs-up instead.
Hey, Sierra called to Judy, over here.
Judy was looking cute in a new pair of jeans and a sassy new haircut. Judy always had a new haircut.
Wow, she exclaimed when she finally reached Lolly. I haven't seen this many people at a ball game since we won state our junior year.
Oh, Sonny said to tell you he's at the concession stand. Big mistake, if you ask me. He'll be forever. The lines are huge.
So I was wondering if he had made it.
Run! Run!
Everyone around them was yelling. The women missed the action, but they could see from where the ball was spotted that the Warriors were 3/4 down the field. It looked like the home team was threatening to score early. "Oh, wouldn't it be great to get ahead and stay ahead?" asked Judy. "I don't know if I am up to a nail-biter."
"Me either. I've had a headache all day."
"Again?" Judy frowned at Sierra. "It's not like you to have so many headaches. What's up?"
"Stress."
"Is David excited?"
Judy's son, David, was the second-string quarterback. He was just a sophomore.
"Boy, is he." Judy made a funny face. "I don't know if he really wants in or not. He might be just as happy on the sidelines tonight. Of course, he would never admit that."
"Of course not."
Both women laughed.
"Darn, it looks like we're going to settle for 3, said Judy.
The field goal unit took the field on 3rd down with the ball on the 22-yard line. The coach yelled at the line to block. The women were watching this time. They saw the bad snap.
"Oh, no," they said in unison as a guy from the other team picked up the errant football.
"Get him," yelled the stands. "Get him."
The offending player tucked the ball under his arm and started sprinting back down the field with the Warriors giving chase. Someone finally caught him around the opposite 20-yard line, and everyone on the Warrior side of the field breathed a collective sigh of relief.
"Too close," Sierra said. Judy nodded in agreement. "My stomach hurts. I can't take this." She moaned dramatically, and Sierra laughed. The 2nd quarter was about to start when Sierra saw Sonny coming up the bleachers. He turned to say something to someone following him, and Sierra gasped loudly. Judy glanced at Sierra first and then at Sonny. Charles Carpenter was right behind him.
"Hey, babe," Sonny said when he reached the seat Sierra was saving. "We've been watching the game from the sidelines, waiting for a break in the action. Y'all gonna have to bunch up."
Charles was smiling, Judy was frowning, Sierra wasn't breathing, and Sonny was oblivious.
"Oh, yeah," he went on. "Let me introduce you. Remember the writer I told you about? Sierra, Judy, this is Charles."
"We've met," said Judy, extending her hand to Charles.
"I heard you rented the Granger place. It's nice to see you again."
Sierra could feel Judy watching her quizzically.
"Hello," Sierra said to Charles. She didn't offer him her hand, and she didn't meet his eyes.
The Warriors had the ball. Sonny didn't notice his wife's reserved greeting. Judy did. The rest of the game was a blur to Sierra. Charles and Sonny kept up a running monologue like they were the best of friends. Since when did Charles get so interested in football, she wondered. He never played. She stewed privately. He probably crammed for it before he showed up. Judy kept asking Sierra to go to the concession stand, but she wasn't about to fall for that trick. She had no desire to play 20 questions, not here, not there. She couldn't even concentrate on Luke. Charles was ruining it for her, the pompous jerk. Before she realized it, the game was almost over. The Warriors had the ball, trailing on the scoreboard by 3 points. 3rd and long from their own 50-yard line. 18 seconds on the clock. Everyone knew it was going to be a pass play. No one on either side was sitting down. Jeff had looked up in the stands for Lolly all night. Nothing. She could have on purple for all he knew. Where was she? He tried to quit looking and keep his head in the game. Coach called a timeout and set up the last play. Luke looked them all in the eyes. "This is it, boys," he said calmly. "Let's do it." Lolly couldn't stand it. She slipped on her red jacket from where she sat and stood up. The boys broke huddle. Luke could barely hear his own voice above the crowd as he gave the count. "Down, set, 91, 92, blue, hut." He dropped back to pass, his line dug in for all they were worth, and tried to give him one more second in the pocket. He scanned the field for his receivers. People were rushing him. He scrambled and scrambled. He had to get rid of the ball. Finally, at the last second, he saw Jeff lose his defender and cut across the middle of the field. Luke lofted it seconds before he was pummeled. Jeff was running stride for stride with his receiver. He saw Luke looking towards him, and he broke stride for his pre-planned route, cutting inside to open field. He saw Luke launch the ball. It got bigger and bigger. He had a play on it. As he left the ground, he felt hands appear out of nowhere. Someone's feet got tangled up in his.
The buzzer sounded, and he fell to the ground, the ball bouncing crazily out of reach. Luke looked up from where he lay with the heavy linesman across his body. He couldn't see Jeff, but he could see the rest of his team. He saw their reaction when the buzzer went off. He laid his head on the dirty field, and tears ran down his face, mixing with the sweat and the grass. He could taste the salt. The season was over. The referees ran from the field to a chorus of boos from the Warrior side of the field and cheers from the winners. There would be no review, no instant replay. It had clearly been interference. Some people stood quietly, trying to absorb the shock, while others screamed and cursed. The result was the same. It was over. The ones that could rouse themselves spilled onto the field. The Warriors lined up and shook hands with their opponents, and then they wandered around in circles, unashamed of the tears that streaked their face. Sierra and Sonny reached Luke at the same time Lolly did. The boy bit his lip. He and his dad embraced, their voices so low you couldn't hear what they were saying. The son's eyes asked his dad many questions. He was comforted by the answers he saw. Neither of them said the word interference. It was a moot point. Maybe they'd rehash it later when they were able to watch it on film. Finally, it was Sierra's turn and then Lolly's. After hugging her brother, she turned and looked around for Jeff. There he was. His parents were with him. And so was Susan. Lolly walked off the field with her mother. Her dad stayed to shake hands with the coach. From his seat in the bleachers, Charles Carpenter watched Sierra with her family. Crumpling his Coke cup, he threw it in the trash and left. On the field, Jeff fumed as Susan played up to his mom. He didn't want her there. He was glaring at Susan when he saw Lolly. Lolly, he called to her, tried to catch up. He would have been able to if everyone hadn't kept stopping him, trying to comfort him. All he could do was watch as the red jacket walked away.